2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, I know it's 5 years ago, but post-COVID, we were all about getting back together and spending time with one another. But it seems now that more of us are seeking solitude again. And in a busy work world, it can be hard to carve out some alone time. Well, psychologist Padraig Walsh is here now to discuss the whole idea of solitude and the benefits of it. Very welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Laura.
How are you today?
I'm very good. You're having two extroverts talking about solitude today.
Mad. But I actually think as an extrovert who tried to claim she was an introvert the other day, it didn't fly with anybody. I actually think it's really important for extroverts to try and like plug themselves into the wall.
You were talking about COVID there, and it was one of the interesting kind of social experiments that emerged during COVID was that lots of us would have claimed to be extroverts.
Yeah.
And then there would have been other people who claimed to be introverts, you know. But in between all of this, we discover that there's something in between. There's an ambivert where, you know, if we need to have that balance. So extroverts kind of need that time where they're having solitude and they're alone. And then there's also people who are introverts, but actually found during COVID they needed that social connection. So a lot of us are kind of falling in between, and we call ourselves ambiverts.
But we can't just all be put into one box anyway. It's a bit mad.
I know.
Some days I need to be an introvert, and that's what we're kind of talking about now. Because why is solitude or alone time important, Padraig?
So because Oasis are coming in August,
straight away
with a segue, right? So I told you my lectures are going to be storytelling based, right? One of my favorite things to do is go on a big YouTube dive of Oasis at the moment, right? And there's a great interview that Liam Gallagher has with Chris Moyles, and Chris Moyles is asking, like, hey, you know, Liam is full of energy, like, and
rock and roll through and
rock through. And roll through and through, like, probably ADHD, like, he's just so much energy. But Chris was asking him, he's saying, you're looking great and you're going out running, I hear. And Liam goes, yeah, I have to go out running. If I don't go out running, I don't plug in, I don't bring any Strava, I don't bring any headphones with me. He goes, but what I do is it helps me reshuffle the deck. And he talks about in his brain, he's got so many different thoughts going on, so many different people onto him, and when he goes for that run, he says, I reshuffle the deck. So he kind of sorts things out in his head. So he uses that point of solitude to kind of switch off, but he's not just switching off, he's using that time to sort things out that probably when there's so much noise. So right now there is so much noise in the world, you know, there's, and I'm not talking about like auditory noise, I'm talking about visual noise, I'm talking about thoughts that we can have, you know, messages that we get, that actually having pure solitude can be much more difficult than it used to be.
Yeah. So like you mentioned there that he never took his phone out with him. So like, are you saying that being alone with your phone is not alone time?
Oh, totally not. So like, there's a difference between solitude and loneliness, for instance. Solitude quite often is voluntary. So, you know, maybe in the 80s and 90s, you would have had a lot of discussions around people feeling lonely in a city. And it still remains, you know, up until now. But in the 80s, 90s and 2000s, you didn't have, let's say, social media connection, right? Yeah. So you would have had this narrative of people being in a space where they would have where you would have lots of people around us, but you would be feeling quite lonely. Now we have the case where there might be nobody around us. You could be in your sitting room, in your bedroom, but you're actually not having any switch off time. You're not having any, you're not experiencing solitude. You're not psychologically switching off.
Yeah.
You're connecting with your phone and it becomes habitual. And that can be a real problem when it comes to actual true solitude.
You say that solitude should be an active process, right? And we should treat it like that. What do you mean?
So, it's true. So it can be too easy. Let's take time alone. So once upon a time, if you were by yourself, you were all alone.
Yeah.
Okay. But now if you're by yourself, a lot of the time we will look for, habitually, we will look for stimuli. Okay? We will look for to turn on the radio, listen to music, listen to a podcast, watch TV, go onto our phone, you know. So it becomes we're actually downloading more information to our brains, which can, which solitude or mindfulness is kind of about switching that part off and not downloading. A little bit like Liam Gallagher. He goes, I'm not taking in any more dirty laundry into my basket. I'm going to sort it out and fix it up. Okay?
Okay.
So when I'm talking about an active process, we're saying, I need to have some switch off time. I need to have some solitude. Because if I'm expecting that I'm just going to, you know, do nothing, it's going to be difficult. One of the best ways that I find to kind of get into that state of solitude is going for a walk, because I, or actually, do you know what I've found recently? And it's really sad. Weeding the garden.
Oh God.
I know, right?
Park.
I hate weeding the garden. But what it does is it means my hands are being used.
Okay.
Or if I'm doing, you know, chores around the house, my hands are being used. So I'm actually not holding my phone.
Yeah.
So if you are out walking, if you're out running, you might be switched on, or you might just go out without your phone. And that can be true solitude. But at the same time, you could be sitting on a very, very busy train or a very, very busy bus and still be experiencing that feeling of solitude. You know, where you see somebody and they're just looking out the window, they're completely with their own thoughts. So it doesn't necessarily have to be physically, you don't have to be physically alone to experience solitude. But that's why I'm talking about it being an active process, that you're almost choosing it. Because so much of our default now can be to have some sort of stimuli.
Is it inherently just actually trying your best to get off your phone? You know what I mean? Like, as in, like, I've found, like, my wind down has to be my trash TV. And I need for, I don't know what I find relaxing about women screaming at each other, but I really do. And it just feels so, you know, mundane, because the problems are so silly and they're not real life things. So it's just like, I find that easy to kind of switch off and be like, you're mad. But I find that I can enjoy it better, and I can actually full, like, my body fully relaxes and my mind fully relaxes when I just throw my phone in the room and come out into the sitting room and do that.
You are totally not alone. For me, it's sport, because I tune in and I go, this really doesn't matter. And isn't it a great privilege that we have to look at it? But like my colleagues, my two psychologist colleagues, Mike Keane and Susan, run this teacher training course. So teachers at the moment, primary school teachers in particular, are their first week of solitude, their first week of summer holidays. There are thousands of Irish primary school teachers sitting down right now going, finally, space and time to myself. And Mike and Rose and Susan have set up the Actualize Academy, which is a teacher training EPV course college, which loads of teachers are doing at the moment. Part of that is to give reflective pieces back to us. And so many of them say, actually, reality TV is really good for my mental health. You know, it's one of those things where we go, it's a very personal thing that we have, that, you know, quite often you'll see psychologists and we will say, you need to be mindful. And people will think that's meditation.
Yeah.
And I need to sit down and clear my thoughts and get my zen on. Right.
Yeah.
And loads of us find that really, really difficult.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to you about weeding. You're talking about reality TV. We're talking about different things and actually reflecting for yourself and going, what is it that works for me to have that Liam Gallagher effect, where my mind switches off and I'm able to just think about things that are important to me, or think about nothing, or embrace what's around me and be fully tuned into solitude.
So it's finding that little piece of calm that doesn't have you so stressed out. But in saying that, Porg, right, like, we all as people feel incredibly embarrassed to nearly admit that, like, we went to the cinema by ourselves or we went for lunch by ourselves. You know, you're looking around and the default is to pick up your phone, because then you don't look strange. Like, for me, I couldn't walk into the shop without my headphones in, because even if there's nothing in them, they're kind of a safety blanket for me. And it's so incredibly strange that I'd nearly feel weird.
Yeah, but I did a segment before on Drive Time about JOMO, the joy of missing out. You know, and a lot of it's kind of an antithesis to FOMO, which is the fear of missing out. But I remember starting secondary school, and maybe I just had a different view of the world, but I remember people talking about the word, like, somebody's a loner, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, completely innocent, thinking that is the coolest thing ever. I remember going, wow, they must be so self-assured and so grounded and so self-confident.
So you were born to be a psychologist.
Right. Well, possibly, right? I was coming in from the country thinking, okay, look, these loners must be the coolest people ever. But apparently the social norm that was embedded in adolescence was, oh no, that's not uncool, okay? Great. So I think a lot of that can be a social construct that we're told in movies, or we're told through social media, or there's messaging that comes through that is, well, actually, you know, being alone isn't good, when actually a lot of us kind of enjoy it. And once we become comfortable with it and grounded, it gives off a signal that, you know, you see people and you go, God, they're quite confident. Yeah. They're quite self-assured. They're grounded. And it can become habitual almost that, you know, whereas before we're looking for contact with others, we're looking for something to do. Once we get comfortable in our own skin, it can become like a habit almost.
Not all solitude is good though. And like, at what point does it become a negative thing?
Yeah. I would have said before on the show that one of the most important things we can do to have a long and healthy life, one of the biggest indicators of a good lifespan, is that we would stay socially connected. We would stay socially connected with other people, that we would enjoy the company of others, because that helps us long into the future, right?
Yeah.
But there is no magic formula for how much time we should spend with other people, how many people we should have in our lives, how much time we should spend for solitude. But it's almost tuning into what works for you.
Yeah.
What is the optimal amount for you? You know, what helps you recharge your batteries, if you're talking about, you know, this being beneficial to your psychological health. And then there might be times where you need to really connect with people socially, and that charges your battery.
Yeah.
So there's that balance. You know, I last week I did a kids summer camp. A big shout out to the Bunbrusna GEA summer camp posse. And I said I would help out coaching.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, it's 4 to 12-year-old kids.
How hard can that be?
Which kids am I going to get? I'm going to get the 4-year-olds, Laura. So I had 24-year-olds. Thank God I had other parents helping me out with this, okay? And there was no solitude. I had three kids. On day one, I had three children coming up to me going, I want my mammy. One of them was my own son, right? So this is, I came home after those 3 hours and I had to have a nap, okay? So we're talking about intense social interaction.
Yeah.
Has to be juxtaposed at some point with pure solitude. Or just a nap.
Okay. But just to reiterate, like, is there a point though, if you're spending too much time by yourself, that it's a problem, that, like, you know, it's a little bit negative? Like just for argument's sake, I had gotten into this lovely routine where, like, I got myself home in the evening, I was watching my reality TV, I was showered as in my jammies on the couch, and it was Emma Power, my friend, who rang me being like, that's it, get off the couch. Like, you're too young to be at home every single day. And I was like, but I'm tired. And she was like, and you always will be. So let's go. And in actual fact, the thoughts of getting out of my house really annoyed me, because I liked being in my bubble. Brian was in America. I had my own space. I was just doing my own thing. But once I got out and I actually met a couple of people for a few hours, I came home and I was like, oh my God, my cup is full.
The energy came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can take other people to point us in the right direction. So sometimes we can get into that habit, you know, where we go, okay, a little dose of solitude, a little dose of me time is great, but it can become so alluring.
Yeah.
Because in the short term, it's like all of the nice comforts that we need. It's the nice warm jammies. It's the comfy couch. It's the reality TV. And it would be somebody from the outside to say, well, actually, there's a lot more to life that you actually enjoy.
Yeah.
But in the, so there's a bias in psychology that influences our behavior a lot. And it's called present bias, right? And here's what it means. It means in the short term, if there is discomfort, we are less likely to choose that behavior. So that's why it's so difficult to get off the couch and go for a run. Even though the benefits are huge, they're far away in the distance. So we value the comfort in the present of sitting on the couch or being by ourselves or watching TV.
Yeah.
And it can be difficult to shift away from that, because the benefits of meeting your friends, or, you know, that buzz of exercise is so far away. It could be hours, could be weeks, could be months away, right? So somebody like Emma comes into you and says, you know what, I'm looking at your whole life here.
Yeah.
I'm not just experiencing that nice warm feeling of comfy pajamas and a couch. She's going, you need to get out there, girl, and you need to, you know, experience these things, because you do enjoy them. You just kind of got into a habit of, yeah. of staying by yourself, which is nice and cozy, but there's more to life than this.
Exactly. Now, obviously, this is all good and well. You know, I am a woman who doesn't have any responsibilities of children. I can tell Brian to just get out of my way. You know, if I need that time to myself, a lot of people aren't that lucky. Not that lucky, but they're not that way inclined. They've got kids around. They've got people around. They can't just get a moment's peace themselves. What are we telling them?
You're talking to your brother here. I've got a 4-year-old and soon to be 2-year-old. And solitude is... I went out with my old college mate on Saturday night. And he has kids the same age. And before we went out, we sat on the couch for 20 minutes in silence. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. There was a little bit of conversation, but mostly it was just silence and kind of, what did you get for 7 down? I was doing a crossword just to prepare. I know. But we went out and we had a great time and we were rock and roll stars, obviously, sure. when we went out. But for that moment, we just needed, the two of us needed to sit. And it is those micro moments that you get. You just don't have those opportunities to get out. So, for instance, myself and my wife realize we really have to be a team.
Yeah.
We really have to be a team and give ourselves those moments where you can just get a break. So we'll talk about our cup being full or our cup being empty. And if I've had a busy day at work or if my head is full, I say, my cup is empty. I need 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, in those 20 minutes, it is my responsibility to refill my cup. Yeah. Okay. It's my responsibility to know I need to go for a walk the dog. Usually what I'll do is I'll volunteer to do a job. So I'm not completely like cashing in here, but it will be a job by myself and I'll recharge my batteries there. If I don't use that time well, you know what? That's on me. So when you have kids, when you are very, very busy, it's rare that you're going to get those big, big moments. But eking out those micro moments, you know, a little bit longer putting out the wheelie bin or a little bit longer sorting out the laundry, just to give yourself that solitude.
Yeah, and just have that communication as well so that you're not taking the mickey either.
Absolutely.
I would also like to reiterate, I used the word lucky. I did not mean the word lucky. I just meant like, you know, those moments, like how do you find those moments?
Of course.
Pork, I absolutely adored this chat. I think what we've taken from it is everybody just needs even those micro moments to just recharge themselves and, you know, finding that time alone where you can is so beneficial to everybody, be you an introvert, an extrovert, what was the other one?
An ambivert. The in-betweeners.
The in-betweeners. So we love the in-betweeners. As always, thank you so much for coming in to join us, psychologist Pork Walsh. We adore you. We'll chat to you again soon.
Thanks, Laura.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxol. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxol.